Hi, this is Chuck Swindoll. I'm pleased you're here for this Monday program as we consider the biblical account of our Lord's birth. And then, after you've heard from me, I need to hear from you. So get a hold of a pen and a piece of paper so you can be ready to write down our contact information at the end of the message. Okay, you ready? Here comes Insight for Living.
Over 2,000 years ago, an angel was dispatched from the throne room of God to meet an older couple named Zacharias and Elizabeth. Gabriel appeared and announced that this couple would bear a son. And later, Gabriel would surprise the Virgin Mary with news that she would give birth to a son whose name would be Jesus. Today on Insight for Living, we'll celebrate these epic moments when the Christmas message was first delivered and fell upon human ears for the very first time. Our celebration begins with festive music from the Stonebriar Community Church Choir and Orchestra under the direction of Don McMinn.
This season, the choir and the orchestra have been singing and playing a very unique arrangement of that old Christmas song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" The arrangement that you'll soon hear was made by David Fry, and David chose to posture this in a neo-impressionistic style, so all the harmonies and the melodies to begin with are very vague, very nebulous, very uncertain. And the reason he did that is to try to convey the very provocative story that is told in the lyrics. You probably remember the story well. It begins with the night wind trying to communicate to a little lamb. And the night wind asks this question, "Little lamb, do you hear what's going on?" And probably the honest answer to that would be, "I'm not sure. I don't know. What is it that you hear?" And then the little lamb tries to communicate to a shepherd boy the same question, "Shepherd boy, do you hear what's going on around here?" And finally, the shepherd boy asks the mighty king the same question, "King, do you hear?" And finally, the king declares to the people everywhere, this child, sleeping in the night, it is he who will bring us goodness and light. It occurs to me that in this day and age, we are bombarded with so much of the accoutrements of Christmas, the paraphernalia and all the clutter, that perhaps we too have a hard time hearing the clarity of the Christian message, the gospel message of the incarnation of Christ. Do you hear what I hear?
listening to a special Christmas edition of Insight for Living. And now, let's pick up the message from Chuck Swindoll, introduced last week. We're in Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 20.
And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, listen to me. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So, when she's back from visiting Elizabeth 3 months along, Joseph with the rabbi and Mary by his side, they have a secret ceremony. And 6 months later, she gives birth. Joseph must have thought many times, I'm so glad I accepted what I heard. Story's not over. Fast forward, wise men who live in Iran, Iraq, some part we would call today ancient Persia, are stargazers. They've studied the story. Some believe that Jewish scholars took scrolls with them and taught these stargazers about the king who would come, the king of the Jews. And they saw the star and they made the journey. Think of how far they traveled. And finally came, wouldn't you believe it, to Herod. Now, he suddenly enters the picture, and because we don't live in that day, and because we're not under Herod's rule, the king of the Jews, it's hard for us to imagine the conflict. No one trumps my kingdom. Herod was an Idumean. He's neither Roman, Greek, nor Jew. By graft and treachery, ascended the throne of Jerusalem, murdered his first wife, murdered his mother-in-law, murdered all of his own sons born to him by his first wife, murdered his brother-in-law, and burned alive a number of Jewish leaders. That's Herod the Great. And the Magi come to him, and they say, we understand there's one that's born king of the Jews. King of the what? Another writes, the political climate at the time of Jesus' birth resembled that of Russia in the 1930s under Stalin, or Romania under Ceausescu. Citizens could not gather in public meetings. Spies were everywhere. In Herod's mind, the command later to slaughter Bethlehem's infants was probably an act of utmost rationality. He heard. Nothing wrong with hammer, anvil, and stirrup in his ears. But he would not believe it. In his insane jealousy, he says to them, come back by when you find me. Tell me about him. I'll go to worship him. Are you kidding? You want to know where Herod's heart was? Verse 16, when the wise men did not go back through Jerusalem, we read, when he heard or saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity from 2 years old and under. Think about that, people. Think about that. Every male child, 2 years and younger, slaughtered in and around Bethlehem. Tragic. But what you may not remember, just before this, the angel said to Joseph, you and the mother and the child, get away. And they as quickly as possible made their way to Egypt to wait. Oh, Herod understood. He understood the words, king of the Jews. He got that clearly. But he would have nothing of it. Now, how does all of this relate? Every Christmas season, sounds enter our ears. The question is what we do with what we hear. We hear sermons, but do we believe them? We hear sacred stories from the Scripture. Do we believe them? We hear songs and carols, but do we believe what we have just sung? some of the best theology in all the hymnal tucked away in the carols. Our lips move, our minds somehow don't connect. We hear the sounds, we love the great choirs and the marvelous instruments, and we hear the sacred scriptures put into melody, but do we believe it? We may even hear at this season of the year and none other the bells that peal. But do we believe? My concern is not about your hearing. It is about your believing. Some are like Zacharias. You hear and you deny it. And then you live with the results, the misery of your situation where you find yourself now. Others are like Mary. We hear, can't explain it all. How could God love someone like me? I don't know. All I know is he does. And the child that she delivered not only delivered her, but can deliver us. Joseph, we're like Joseph some. Or they hear and struggle until a series of interesting events occurs, and then we're left to make a choice. And thankfully, wisely, you have decided, not necessarily from a dream, but maybe from a loss, maybe from a terrible battle with your health, maybe loneliness, maybe some jail sentence. Something has occurred where the message of the angel has broken through. But today, I'm concerned most about the Herods. You've heard the words. You will not believe it. Earlier in the message, I mentioned the bloody, tragic civil war from April of 1861 to April of 1865. We've never known such wretched times in our nation, ever. Brothers killed brothers and fathers killed sons, and vice versa. The battles raged over the latter half of the life of a poet. And for those years, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had trouble coming to terms with where God was in all of this. He had by this time come to be known as America's best-loved poet of the 19th century. But he couldn't get over what he was reading and hearing about loss of limbs and loss of lives, which prompted him, as a result of hearing the bells, to write. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to man. There will never be peace on earth till Christ rules. And until then, the only place you will find peace is when he rules in your heart. That's when you will find peace. I see stamps that read, pray for peace. I switch that around to pray for the salvation of people who don't have it. You just can't fit it on the stamp. You haven't peace in your heart. Remember the words that began with the most insignificant bones in your body to bring you the most significant. message you will ever accept. Bow with me, please. Just sit quietly there for a few moments. I want you to hear the bells in your head. Imagine them. Imagine the message once spoken by an angel and then spoken by the one who had been announced, the King of Israel. No, they rejected him. They refused to believe him. They followed the direction of Herod. Trust me, today every one of them wishes he had believed. Just as you will one day when you breathe your last and you turn down this opportunity to trust Christ. At that moment, it's no longer a joke. It's not at all funny. Rather than go there and live with the regret of all that throughout eternity, right now, I invite you to trust in the Savior. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. We'd love to help you in your journey from earth to heaven, and that's why we exist. If you get a hold of us, we'll help you along the way. But you must take the step. You must trust in Christ alone. Thank you, our Father, that you have given us your truth, and we have come to realize how it all ties together beautifully. And even in the traditional time of the year, when we've heard this story 101 different ways, there's a fresh touch as we realize that you come to us through what appears to be the most insignificant of ways to bring the most significant thing we will ever accept. Thank you in advance for those who right now do not have peace, but soon will, as they trust in the Prince of Peace. In his name we pray. Everyone said, Amen.
Listening to a special holiday edition of Insight for Living, featuring a sermon from Chuck Swindoll titled, Hearing the Message. Now please stay with us. We'll hear from Chuck again in just a moment. Now the music and message you enjoyed today is part of a brand new holiday series. You can purchase all four presentations on CD or MP3 file. If you're listening in the United States, ask for the series called From Heaven to Earth, when you call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insightworld.org. As you know, Insight for Living is made possible by men and women just like you who give, sometimes sacrificially, to make these daily programs available. And as we conclude another year of ministry together, we want you to have an inside look at the impact you're making, as the good news is planted like seed into hearts and homes all around the world. So today we've asked Beverly Hoag, responsible for executive correspondence at Insight for Living, to read a letter from one of our listeners. This one comes from the state of Minnesota and starts with, Dear Chuck.
Years ago, as a stay-at-home mom, I found myself arranging my schedule every day so that I could be near a radio when your program came on. It was a wonderful time of growth and discipleship for me and also for my young children. When he was just 10, our son developed the habit of tuning into your program at night as he went to sleep. It was during one of your programs that he made a commitment to the Lord with his heart, mind, and voice. That boy is now 21. This past weekend, he came home from college and, long story short, he disappointed us with his lack of interest in spiritual things. When he headed back to college, I prayed and had my own pity party with God. A couple hours later, I got a phone call. It was my son. As he was driving back to school, he'd been flipping through the channels and heard a familiar voice. Yours, Chuck. You were preaching on Micah 6:8, and he said God used you to show him that he'd not been walking humbly with his God. No other voice could have caught his attention, but yours was one he remembered and respected. I praise God for your ministry to our family.
It's been our delight to minister to this concerned mother and her son. I'll borrow Paul's statement in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians. He wrote, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." Thank you for taking the time to write and for telling us your story. We're so encouraged to learn how God used Insight for Living to influence her entire family. Maybe you've been listening to our broadcast for a number of years, too. Perhaps this program is woven into the fabric of your family's spiritual heritage. Maybe you have counted on us in a very practical way to provide the Bible teaching you need because you don't find it any other place. So can I single you out today? May I appeal to you specifically? Your letter, your contribution, which becomes your affirmation today, will mean so much to me. It'll only take a few minutes to respond, so find a pen and take down the information. By the way, make that phone call or write that letter. Go online today, okay?
There's no better time to express your appreciation to Insight for Living than right now during the strategic month of December. Here's how you can respond to Chuck Swindoll's request. If you're listening in the United States, you can call right now 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. And when you give a donation today, we'll be saying thank you by providing a hardbound book by Chuck Swindoll. It's called Living the Proverbs, Insight for the Daily Grind. The book, 300 pages in length, will make a welcome companion in the new year as you grow deeper in your walk with God. Again, when you give, request the inspirational devotional book, Living the Proverbs. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Another Christmas message from Chuck Swindoll tomorrow, this time, Birthing the Baby. Listen Tuesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Hearing the Message, was copyrighted in 2011 and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.